Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service. I'm glad that we can meet in the sanctuary, even if it's a little modified from what we're used to. But thank you all for coming and for showing up. And I just want to say thank you to the church council for coming up with the reopening plan and for setting up different things to help with the reopening plan. And of course, they're not in here, but our ladies who are manning the tables out front and all those types of things. So if you didn't get one, on the tables at the two entrances are copies of the reopening plan, if you want to look at it, just to see what kind of the rules are. They're pretty basic and straightforward. And then, let's see, other announcements. AA is allowed to meet, and so they are meeting Mondays and Wednesdays at 5:30. And they are the only group that is allowed to meet currently in the facility, besides, obviously, Sunday morning worship. We do still have Bible study. We're having it over at Terry and Nora Lee's house. So if anybody wants to come and join us, we are finishing up the book of Revelation actually today, or not today, but this week, hopefully. And so if you want to come for the best part of Revelation, it's the happiest part of Revelation actually, you're more than welcome to. Let's see, it's also charge conference time. This year, there shouldn't be that much to do for charge conference because obviously we haven't met. But for those of you who are on committees and all, I'll get with you so we can do our paperwork. Like I say, it shouldn't be difficult paperwork for anybody, really. I can't think of a committee that it's going to be that big a deal for this year. So we do have district conference next Sunday, I think it is. At 3:00, they're going to live stream it. I'll be here. If you want to come for the live stream, you're welcome to come and join me in it. And then our charge conference is November, I want to say 15th, and it too will be live streamed as well, and I'll come here for that. Other than that, I can't think of any new announcements. Clayton has one.
First of all, I'm super excited to see you guys. I miss you all so much. Second, just an announcement about the hymn slots. We don't have bulletins this Sunday because it was kind of last minute that we jumped back to the church, which I'm super thankful that we were able to do. So for the hymn slots, Sam will announce the hymns. We're supposed to refrain from congregational singing due to orders from the bishop. So feel free to turn to the hymn that we sing and recite along, to just say the words and maybe sing very quietly. but that's all I have to say. And okay. I'm just super excited to see everyone. I've missed you all so much.
Okay.
That makes me happy to see people in here again.
We're glad to see you too, Clayton, although I've been seeing you all the time. But I'm still glad to see you. That does remind me, just so you know, for offering will be a little bit different for the time being. We have a basket at this door and a basket at that door. You can just drop your offering in there, either when you come in or when you leave. We will still pray over the offering and all that kind of stuff. You can also still give online. At the top of our Facebook page is a link to where you can do online giving, and the district sends us, or the conference sends us a check for whatever the amount may be. They're supposed to send it weekly. I don't know how many people have utilized online giving thus far, but nevertheless, they send it, and currently it's no cost to us, so we get the full benefit of whatever you may give online. And let me think if there's anything. I can't think of anything else that's any stranger or newer than normal. So, Clayton, would you like to begin with our prelude? As you're able to, please stand and turn to, well, I guess you can't turn, but we will be doing the Apostles' Creed traditional version. Probably most of you know it, and looks like Keith has it up there, so let us recite this ancient creed of the faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our first hymn is going to be Spirit of the Living God. We'll sing, I guess we'll speak verses 1 and 4. And Keith has those up there for us. So once I get where I'm supposed to be. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a few. Lynette's mom, as many of you may know, has been having some issues with an infection that she got after she had some surgery. And the good news is that they think they've got it under control. She's supposed to get off of all of her antibiotics and all that kind of stuff. Is it this week that they're supposed to end it? Okay, so she'll get her IV out. She's had an IV for a while, and then she'll just do oral antibiotics. So please pray for her, but also very thankful that she is doing better. Also, excuse me, if you will pray for my friend Stephanie. She works in healthcare, and she tested positive for COVID-19, and she's doing okay. She said that she thinks she'll be able to go back to work this week. She's been out for about 2 weeks. She had to quarantine and all that kind of stuff, and she's been kind of miserable. But the biggest issue with her is that she's not somebody who likes to sit around and, you know, watch TV, and so it's been driving her crazy. And plus, as she says, she has 4 kids and she hasn't been able to give any of them whoopings in a while. So, you know, she's starting to have withdrawals from that. But just keep her in your prayers, if you will. And I feel like there was, oh, I know. Mary Ann is over at Victorian Square now. And so keep her in your prayers. And of course, keep Alan and the family in your prayers as well. And then Arlene Fuller was supposed to go to an assisted living home, but Jonathan said he heard that she may be back home even though she's not supposed to be. So. Oh, you think they took her over there? Okay. Okay. So, nevertheless, Arlene needs our prayers. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. And other than that, I can't think of anything. Does anyone have any requests they'd like to share? Yes, Keith. Okay. Wanda, did you have one? Okay. So whose daughter was it again, Keith? Okay, Buster Evans, there you go. All right, so Buster Evans' daughter has cancer, that's right. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kamikawa. Darlene Lance? Yes, okay. All right. All right, does anyone else have any? Yes, Morgan.
Yeah, I am so thankful for all the prayers that were sent out for me. I have others that don't know I had a stroke back in early June, and it kind of knocked me off my knee for a while. And as I ask that, I still be remembered in prayer for the healing that continues on. And also,
Larry, you had one?
Yes, one unspoken, and then for my dad, he did make it. Some folks picked him up, took him to church this morning, but he needs prayers. It's beginning to be a big struggle.
Yeah. All right, we'll keep him in our prayers. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask that you would be with all of those requests today for Morgan and for Morgan's brother and for Darlene Lance and Wanda's Unspoken, for Arville, for Buster Evans' daughter, for Linda and for Stephanie and for all those that need you. We pray, Lord, for Alan and for his mother and for his family. Lord, we pray for all of those who aren't able to be here today for whatever reason. And we thank you that we are able to be here today. Lord, we ask that you would work in all these situations. We ask that you would bless our city and our county, our state, our country, and the entire world as we all go through the struggles of what's going on in the world today together. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, may we hear your voice. May we respond in a positive way. May you remind us that we are the body of Christ. We pray all these things in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's see, our next hymn, we will sing verses 1 and 4 of number 702, Sing with All the Saints in Glory. And as you're able to, please stand. At this time, we'd like to say a prayer over our offering, and just as a reminder, there's an offering basket here and one there in the narthex, and again, you can give online as well on our Facebook page. So let's say a blessing over our offering. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, for any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. You have brought us out into this desert to starve this assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening, and all the bread you want in the morning." Sorry, I've lost my place. "Because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread.' Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Here's a fun fact for you. The Hebrew term manna or mana means "what is it?" That's why it's called manna, because the Israelites said, "What is this stuff?" That's just your fun fact. If it ever comes up on Jeopardy, you can win the Daily Double. So, one of the funny things in this passage to me, when you're learning about biblical interpretation and how to interpret a passage of Scripture, one of the things that you look for is repetition. What is repeated in a passage? Because there's a good chance that if something is repeated, it's important, right? So, one of the things that is repeated is the word grumbling. Another thing that is repeated is the fact that God is going to provide for you in the midst of your grumbling. So one could argue that this passage of Exodus is about how God puts up with childish people. Now, I have a 4-year-old daughter. I love her very much. She's back there. She's been looking forward to coming to church since she hasn't been able to for a while. And I can tell you that when she wants something, she's still learning the fine art of asking for it rather than demanding it or complaining about it. And also asking for it politely, right? You know, you can ask for something using polite words, but not be polite about it, you know? The Israelites were less mature, I think, than my daughter. I mean, notice what they do. This is like, I used to work with teenage girls when I worked at both Florence Crittenton and Helen Ross McNabb, and this sounds like some teenage girls. I mean, it really does. No offense to the ladies out there. All of you have been teenage girls at some point in your lives, right? What do they do? "Oh, you brought us out of Egypt, the land flowing with milk and honey, where we ate our fill. You brought us out here to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to starve to death." And now, wait a minute. Not 2 days ago, you saw God protect you from the Egyptians. And now he's going to starve you to death. God is powerful enough to defeat the most powerful army in existence up to this time. And he does all that, and now he's going to starve you to death. He sent plagues to free you, and now he's going to starve you to death. This doesn't make any sense. Why would God do that to you? Well, you know that you may have noticed they don't blame God. If you ever really pay attention in the Old Testament, people are really, really good about blaming God without blaming God. You know, in the story of Adam and Eve, The unspoken thing is, you know, God says, what happened? You know, well, we realized we were naked. Who told you you were naked? You know, why did you eat of the fruit? And Adam says, well, you know, the woman, who you made, by the way, she's the reason. So he turns to Eve. Eve, what? Well, the serpent, who you made, by the way, he did, you know. And here it's not, why did the Lord bring us into the wilderness? It's Moses, why did you bring us with the unspoken? Why did you listen to the Lord and bring us out here? People are good at blaming God without blaming God because, you know, we want to make sure that we're pious. We want to make sure that we don't blaspheme God. But God's kind of dumb, so he won't realize that that's what we're doing if, you know, if we don't say it outright. God's not that smart. I mean, that's the implication, right? And what does God do? He says, let them know that I'm going to provide them with meat and with bread, enough for each day, and all they have to do is go out each day and get enough for that day for their family, no more, no less. And he says, and this is going to be to show them, you know, that I care about them, but it's also, Exodus says, to test them, to see if they listen. God already knows they don't listen. What God is really saying is not, I want to see if they're going to listen. It's more like, let's see what you find to complain about this time. Whose fault is it going to be this time? Now, we didn't get into the story, but guess what happens? The Israelites gather too much. Because who knows if God's going to provide us? It's not, I mean, he hasn't done anything the last little bit. He hasn't, you know, brought plagues on Egypt. He hasn't freed us from slavery. He hasn't allowed us to cross the Red Sea in a miraculous way. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't done anything in the last whatever, you know. He didn't fulfill his promise here this morning. So obviously we can't trust him, right? I mean, that... Again, they don't say this. Their actions say this. And guess what happens? The food that was extra rots. And if you've ever been around rotten food stinks. It smells really bad. It's not something you can hide, right? I don't care what Lysol says. You can't spray Lysol in a trash can with rotten food and have it smell like Lysol. It's going to smell like Lysol with rotten food, you know. That's what it's going to smell like. And they didn't even have Lysol back then. And of course, this was probably God's fault too. You know, if he would have just stopped us from taking this extra food, it wouldn't have rotted, right? He should have done something. While we were out of church, or at least out of coming into the sanctuary for church, you probably read similar things to me. Some churches never closed. Some churches closed and reopened. Some churches had crazy outbreaks of COVID within their congregation. John MacArthur is fighting with the government of California. You know, just you've probably seen and read all these things. And the thing that struck me in all of this was nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, the loudest people were busy grumbling about not being able to come to church. But there were groups of people, and they're usually the quiet ones because they're busy working and doing the stuff, you know, doing the work, that were feeding people and finding unique ways to preach the gospel. and offering their services and giving money that would normally have gone to their local church to other charities, and offering their homes and buildings and such for people to meet there, and all these different things. And I got to thinking, is our church building our Egypt? And what I mean by that is, our church building is beautiful. We have a very beautiful sanctuary. We do, and I love it. I come in here, it's peaceful. When I'm here in the week, I like to come and pray and, you know, do things in here. But I wonder what we would look like without this building. You know, we weren't allowed to come in here because of orders from the bishop. Whether you think that was a good idea, a bad idea, you know, whatever your opinion about that is what it is. But we have brothers and sisters in this world who don't have buildings to worship in. We have brothers and sisters in this world who don't have yards to worship in. Because if they do, they'll be arrested, at the very least. Many of them will be beaten. Many of them will be murdered. Many of them will be thrown in jail. And yet in those areas of the world, the church is growing and growing and growing. The church always seems to grow where it faces the most intense persecution. And so I think to myself again, is our church building our Egypt? Don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating that we shut the doors, turn off the lights, and, you know, go out into the road and never come back in here again. I'm not. I'm glad that we're back in here. I'm very thankful that we're back in here. And I'm very thankful that we live in a country where we can come back in here and not have to worry about government agents kicking in the door and, you know, dragging us out to disappear. But while we weren't here, how did we worship God? Do we sit around and twiddle our thumbs and gripe and complain and grumble? Boy, the bishop, she just, you know, she doesn't care. Her salary gets paid regardless. The pastor, he doesn't care. He, you know, he just wants to sit at home and, you know, eating chips and watching TV. He don't want to go back to church. Is that what we did? Or did we do the work of the church? The lesson of the manna and quail is first and foremost that God provides for us even when we don't deserve it. Absolutely. The Israelites did not deserve a bit of what God gave them. But the other lesson, and maybe the most important lesson for us in this time in the world, is do we sit in the land of Egypt and look at the promised land and say, well, it's nice and all, but there's too much uncertainty. Yeah, the Egyptians beat us. Yeah, they work us to death. Yeah, they're horrible and cruel. But at least we get 3 square meals a day. I would like to submit that our manna and quail, our daily harvest, if you will, is what we do outside of the church. The church is a sanctuary in which we come together for fellowship, for renewal, to praise God, to worship God, to hear Clayton play beautiful music. But to get the manna and the quail, you have to go out there. And then you have to trust God to provide the bounty. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you. I'm glad we're back in church. I hope we can continue to stay here. I hope that more people will be able to show up as we continue. But let's not forget, the mission of the church is not to keep the doors of the building open. The mission of the church is to push back the gates of hell. Literally and figuratively. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to follow Christ in all things. Help us to do your work as we seek to bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, when we fail, when we grumble and complain, rather than pour out your wrath, may you provide us with manna and quail. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed. May you take all the blessings God gives you and extend them to all those you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace. Thank you.